I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. It's all too familiar to the people of South Sudan. All of a sudden, the world's newest nation seems to be tearing itself apart. According to the UN, more than 1,000 people have died in violence that's flared up out of seemingly nowhere. The UN Special Envoy to South Sudan, Hilda Johnson, said today in Juba, the capital, that people are terrified.
What has happened this last week has, for many of them, brought back the nightmares of the past. The nationhood painstakingly built over decades of conflict and strife is at stake. And for us, one of the most important things is to have those nightmares end.
Johnson appealed to the leaders of the warring factions to order their forces to lay down their arms. Heidi Vogt is with the Wall Street Journal. We reached her earlier in Juba.
The violence is not happening in Juba at this point. Juba is dealing with a real humanitarian crisis with more than 20,000 people taking shelter at UN camps. But fighting is happening up in the oil-producing states of Unity and Upper Nile, with heavy fighting even today in those state capitals. Government forces are battling the rebel troops there.
So presumably those thousands of people who are in a refugee camp in Juba, they're fleeing that fighting in the north?
No, these are people who have were fleeing fighting that happened in Juba more than a week ago now. This is where all of these clashes started, because what we've had here was ethnic targeting, the Dinka and Nuer ethnic groups fighting each other. And so in Juba, the Nuer who were targeted fled to these camps. And I talked to a number of people yesterday at one of these camps, and I said, you know, it's quiet out there. I'm driving around Juba. And they said, yeah, but I can't go home. The soldiers will come at night and they will kill me.
So tell me some more stories about the people at those camps. I mean, what are they telling you? I mean, aside from their fear of going back home.
There's some really awful stories. I mean, what we've basically got is people saying that soldiers of the Dinka ethnicity started hunting down civilians of the Nuer ethnicity in the city. They came into these people's houses. When I said, we were all already hiding under the beds because there was so much shooting. And this soldier burst in the door, started talking to us in the Dinka language. And when we couldn't reply in the right accent, he started shooting. And one of his family members was killed. And there are stories like that by the hundreds all over this city.
Are these refugees as shocked as the rest of the world that this new nation of South Sudan is just collapsing?
You know, what is scary is that they are not nearly as shocked as we, the rest of the world, are, because this area was driven by ethnic divisions long before independence. There was a civil war being fought for decades that included ethnic massacres. And so what we're seeing here is South Sudanese who, when they gained independence in 2011 and all these old enemies came together to form a new country, now they're saying, you know, we thought we had all of this hope, and now it seems like it's just returned to the same way it was, with everybody killing each other.
I mean, it just sounds so chaotic, with pockets of violence in many different places for seemingly different reasons. Have you figured out what it's about? Is it ethnic? Is it about oil?
It's about politics. It's about oil and it's about ethnicity. What we really have here is something that started as a political power struggle between the president and his former vice president, who had announced he was going to run against him in upcoming elections in 2015. President Kiir had sidelined a number of Mr. Machar's allies to the point that we had a clash in the Presidential Guard Sunday night in Juba, with people, presidential guards who were getting fired, fighting back. And that became an ethnic brawl. And then that spiraled out into the states. And then as soon as it got into these oil producing regions, we have these now rebel forces saying, well, we're going to get control of the oil, and that's how we're going to get control of the country.
I hear that talks are being held to try and find a way out of this, but that would assume that President Salva Kiir and his former deputy Riek Machar could be in the same room at the same time. Are we even there yet?
No. We're hearing a lot from diplomats about progress in these talks, but the one thing we have to recognize is the talks at this point are only with President Kiir. until Riek Machar is part of these talks, it's hard to see any progress being made.
The Wall Street Journal's Heidi Vogt in Juba, the South Sudanese capital. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.